The threefold grouping points to spiritual development in the Christian life. Some believers have been many years on the way, but are still babes in development. The children here know that their sins are forgiven, and that God is their Father. The fathers know Him that is from the beginning. They have come to know God by progressive experience. In Daniel 11:32, we read that they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. To know God is the highest peak of experience. And this is eternal life, said the Lord Jesus, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. John 17, verse 3. There can be no higher knowledge than this. The young men receive special attention, indicated by the fact that they are placed last on the two lists of exhortations. The young men represent the middle part of the Christian life, the time of work and warfare, and the acquiring of a knowledge of the Word. Let us consider the three things said about them. First, their character. They are strong, like Samson or Joshua. This should be an accurate characteristic of this stage of spiritual development. Second, their condition. The Word of God abides in them. This is the secret of their strength. They are saturated with the Word of God. Third, their conflict. We are told twice that they have overcome the wicked one. The perfect tense shows the abiding results of past victory. Satan's temptations are directed especially to the young men, but like our Lord in the desert, they have overcome because of the Word abiding in them. Then comes the warning in verses 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 15. This is John's fourth test of vital Christianity. It is directed not only to the young men, but to any man. It would be important at this point to define the term, the world, as it is used in the Scriptures, and especially by the Apostle John. In the New Testament, there are two main words. Cosmos, originally meaning harmonious order or arrangement, with a secondary meaning of embellishment or adornment. In the New Testament, it is used in a threefold way. First, the material universe, the earth. God made the world, Acts 17:24. Second, the inhabitants of the world. God so loved the world, John 3:16. And then third, worldly goods, riches, possessions, pleasures, etc., the things that are in the world, 1 John 2, verse 15. A second word is used. It's the word aeon, which embodies the idea of time or age. A careful study of these words and their context shows that the term, the world, means a planned organization or system hostile to God, and that there is a sinister mind behind the system. John calls him the prince of this world. He tells us in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world lieth in the evil one. He is the rebellious cosmocrator, or the world ruler of this darkness. There is then an ordered system, the world, which is governed from behind the scenes by a ruler, and that ruler is Satan. It seems that to John especially was given an understanding of the nature of the world. In the Synoptic Gospels, the word is only used 15 times. Paul uses it 47 times in 8 letters, but John uses it 105 times in all. 78 times in his Gospel, 24 times in his Epistles, and 3 times in the Book of Revelation. Thus, when John speaks of the world in this passage, he does not mean the material world, the product of God's creatorial power, which he pronounced very good when he made it, but he's referring to the present organized world system in revolt against God, and of which Satan is its prince and God. In our Lord's great intercessory prayer in John 17, he uses four prepositions of the believer's relation to it. First, we are taken out of it, verse 6. Second, we are in it, verse 11. Third, we are not of it, verses 14, 16. Then we are sent back into it as strangers and pilgrims, and as heaven's ambassadors, verse 18. Separation from the world system, the present evil age, is emphasized in all the apostolic writings. Paul states his attitude in Galatians 6, 14. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. John specifies its makeup. It's three elements in verse 16. First, the desire of the flesh. The intense, overwhelming, passionate desire, having its seat in the old, unregenerate nature. It is the letting loose of sensual bodily appetites. This is the trap into which Samson and David so tragically fell. Second, the desire of the eyes. This is the strong, overwhelming desire for unlawful indulgence, stimulated by the organs of sight. The soul invaded through eye gate. The world system today caters to every base desire through pornography, in the popular magazines, in the movies, on television, and suggestive advertising. Third, the pride of life. This is the vainglorious pride in worldly goods, empty boasting in possessions, an unholy ambition for self-display and self-glory. If my reputation means more to me than the glory of God or the well-being of my fellows, the pretentiousness of life has become the object of my idol worship. These are precisely the three temptations that were offered by Satan to Adam and Eve in Eden, and to which they succumbed. They were identical to the temptations offered to our Lord in the wilderness, but he gloriously overcame by the use of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. When Satan took him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said, "All these things will I give thee, for that is delivered unto me, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." This was no idle boast, but it is only through his suffering and death of the cross, and his conquest of Satan, that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. Revelation 11. So this is the world, the present evil age, which is special attraction for the young men and for all of us. John forthrightly states the position of the believer in relation to the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He concludes the matter by saying, "And the world passeth away." It is in the process of disintegration. When there is a run on a bank, and it can no longer meet the claims of its clients, a wise man does not put his money into it. The bank of heaven is much safer, and pays at the rate of 10 cities for the investment of £1. On the tombstone of D.L. Moody is engraven the words, "He that doeth the will of God abideth forever."